Well, it's been close to an hour. Does anybody else have anything specifically about the bait or the podcast they want to?
Are there any, just, you know, you have such a prestigious career in debating. Are there any that, like any particular topics that you debated that really stick out to you? Like that you feel like you did, you really either resonated with you or you felt like you did really well.
I'd say the failures stick out a lot more than the victories. Oh. So one time I was at the World Championships in Cork, Ireland, and we were the first government, which means we set the debate round off with like what the arguments are going to be based off of the topic. And it was something to the effect. So resolutions are written as this house because you're emulating parliament. So this house supports the, I don't know, something like the reform of Myanmar or Burma. And my partner and I were like, well, we have to pick between Myanmar and Burma, I guess. And that is the same country. Mm-hmm. So we like just got up there and tried our best to talk about like reform in a country is a good thing. These two countries would certainly benefit from that. And afterwards, we found out, I think by the time the first speaker for the opposition got up and said, this is the same country and this is what's actually been happening there. And there's like a history of like jailing political dissidents. And also you guys right. are idiots. That stands out. That was a very long time ago and it stands out.
Oh no.
Wow.
Trying to think if there's any topic that I like especially loved debating or feel really good that I won with. But the topic that I really enjoyed teaching argument with, because we would go through exercises for how to like build cases and how to deconstruct other people's arguments, was legalizing prostitution, or we would call it sex work now, but this was like literally 20 years ago.
Oh.
So legalizing sex work is, especially at the time where it was a little less acceptable of like a cultural, like people are kind of okay with it more so than right. they were back when I was in college. It's a pretty evenly balanced topic on the pros and cons. There are really good public health reasons to legalize it. There are some pretty good concerns if you're thinking about maybe it should be banned. Morality questions, economic questions. So that was a we call it a chestnut of just like a topic that I like to teach a lot of framework through because we could get a lot of like comprehensive types of argumentation out of that one topic. Also, I just like, you know, shocking a few college freshmen of like, hello, welcome to debate club. You're going to be talking about prostitution today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very, very fertile topic.
Yeah. No, my
if there's a pun in there, it's not intended. I'm just covering my bases now. I'm sorry.
They made us do that in Christian ethics class. They made us like that. That's probably the only time I've done like formal debate was in this one Christian ethics class that I had to take in college. And it was, I ended up like pro-life or pro-choice, which like then I was pro-life, but I had to argue the pro-choice side. And you know what I used as a source? Like I would be ripped apart. Freakonomics. Like, which is like, didn't they debunk a lot of that or am I wrong?
When it came out, it was taken as gospel for a while.
Yeah. And so like Freakonomics had it where like crime had gone down because abortion was legal or whatever. And like, I don't know, like, it was weird, like, especially when you're at a Christian fucking conservative college, it feels like people are staring at you, and it was like, come on. But now, of course, very different beliefs than I had.
Yeah, well, that's about an hour. Usually, I mean, we can keep talking if you want. We've gotten the habit of just splitting these up into two episodes because we just keep talking and we go way off topic.
Whatever you guys want. I've got a couple of beers here.
Sure.
Is that the fire dog as a stuffed animal behind you?
Okay. When COVID started and we had a much smaller team, my boss bought us all this is fine.
I was making eye contact with that dog the whole episode. I'm sorry.
He's right next to my MBA. So
no.
Multitudes.
Oh, nice.
Stuff animals.
Oh, that's so much more impressive. But the dog is just.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it. Yeah, it's like a divot. You get stuck in it.
What's going on in the paintings behind him? It looks like a desert sort of landscape.
It's just kind of some abstracty stuff I made a couple years ago. I guess it kind of look deserty at this point. It was neutral enough and non-offensive enough to have in my background for work. So,
is our podcast all audio?
Yes.
doing psych gags on the comedy album.
Oh, whatever. Oh, but I'm just curious because, like, but no, Brandon and I are obsessed with the desert these days.
That's true.
I actually I don't enjoy deserts as a concept or being in them. So
really,
I like that you don't like them as a concept either. It's just like their existence bothers me.
They're too hot.
I understand. It's where death is most apparent in a landscape.
Death Valley, especially, I guess. But
that particular. But you know,
I've been thinking a lot about the Los Alamos Desert since I saw Oppenheimer, and just like the kind of the windy, like it's different because I went to the desert for the first time ever in my fucking life when I went to Las Vegas. And we like left and did like other shit. We went to like Grand Canyon West. We went to like, what was it? Red base rock basin or something near Vegas. And it was like gorgeous. Like, but like I was shocked. Like I grew up and I traveled a little bit more, I think, than the average person. But I've only exclusively like lived like in the southeast of America. And so like when I landed in Vegas, I looked around and I was like, this looks like fucking Mars to me. This looks like a different planet.
That's where they shoot Mars. It's in the desert.
That is, generally,
No, so like Rob and Brandon, if you guys like desert so much, you should go to Burning Man.
Oh, fuck.
No, thank you. I grew up going to the desert. I'm from Southern California, so like that was like that. We went there maybe once a year.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, but it's like I don't know. It's nice. It's nice to just like be in a place that's desolate.
Yeah,
especially being in like being from LA where there's so much people crowded around you. And just clogging up all sorts of shit.
It's
nice to just kind of be in nothing.
That sounds incredible. I would say maybe my version of that would be I really like to go to like very rural southern towns. Like when I just went to a Wild Goose Festival. And like I was in this town called Union Grove, North Carolina, and they didn't even have a grocery store. It was just like they had like a Dollar General that had some groceries, and they had like 3 restaurants, 2 of which were owned by like the same Roy's company where you could also get ammo and guns, and then like Burger Barn where they and I went to Burger Barn and they had just like a pitcher of lemonade on the counter just like for sale, and we got glasses of that lemonade that like I like that was just sitting on the counter, and it was like the best lemonade I think I'd had in a long time.
That sounds really nice. If they can verify that they weren't racist, I'd be like stoked to like. Specifically. I'm not trying to throw that specific town.
No, they're all racist. They're all.
Okay, then throw that fucking start the bus. But yeah, but that sounds nice. I like.
Yeah,
that.
My favorite thing though, like that, was when I drove across the country with a friend, and we drove across the north of the country. So we drove through Montana, and it's just like all these beautiful rock formations and basically a desert. And just the highway going straight through. And when you follow that highway down, you just end up in these towns where the highway going through it is the only paved road. So like we stopped in one town to get gas, and it was like a horror movie gas station where it's like dilapidated, just one old guy running it. We went to a grocery store on the dirt road, and it had like all of the kids graduating high school, and there was like 10, and there was like all the kids going to Iraq that year, and it was like 8 kids.
Oh, good God.
Oh, that's grim.
Yeah. And man. So we drove through that town, and then we got through, and then we drove back out and then it's just desolate again for miles and miles. And then we get to another small town, and driving through, I saw my favorite sign of all time. It was a store that just said liquor and guns.
That sounds like a lot of like Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington. The I-5 corridor is, well, I live very close to I-5. So like all the way from like Southern Oregon up to like Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, wow. You call it I-5.
Yeah.
So
do you call it the five?
I call it the five. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from California initially, but I moved out before I began driving. I call them by their proper names, according to Oregonians. And no, also, I did not know how to pump my own gas until I was like 25.
That's one of my all-time favorite pictures is when, where was it, New Jersey or was it Oregon, where they
they just changed it in New Jersey. Yeah, the people can pump their own gas now,
and all the people were like, what the fuck at the gas pump.
Yeah.
But like, to be fair, I remember that like I got my driver's license and like I thought, like I was really excited. I was driving myself to school for the first day and I like stopped at a gas station and I realized I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like I had to call my mom on my little like Nokia blue brick phone and like I didn't know to like, I didn't know how to open the gas, and I also didn't know that you have to pull the handle up on most gas pumps like to get it to start flowing. I thought you just like
most. I've only encountered that like a handful of times, and I've been around a lot of the country.
What? No. Like when you, so you put the nozzle into your gas tank, but then like usually there's like a little thing you have to start before it'll start flowing. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of like a fail-safe. The trigger, like the little trigger thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It's on the gas pump.
The
little trigger on the gas pump.
Like the thing you lift. It's like a big thing. Like
It's where the nozzle rests, right? You have to have it in a certain position or the gas won't flow.
Yeah, I've only seen those a handful of times.
Oh, what? Yeah, no, I don't.
I swear all the ones around here are like that.
Really?
Oh, I've never been.
We're not that far from each other. Rob, we're not that far from each other.
I know, so we're like 5 hours. That's why I'm surprised. I mean, I remember my cousin when we drove to a wedding in, I forget if it was Virginia or West Virginia. I remember she was shocked by that. I was like, oh yeah, no, it's just a thing sometimes. You have to lift that thing up. But no, when I got gas at the 7-Eleven by you, they didn't have that, I don't think. Where you're in Oregon or Washington now, Kelly?
I'm in Oregon. I did live in Washington for close to 10 years. I'm a little bit south of Portland.
Oh,
okay. I actually was in Portland today because I worked on site today. So the Portland's a quick drive for me, 20, 30 minutes in good conditions. Nice. So
I thought you were out in the West, because I never hear about anybody living out in the western parts of those states. And they just seem like another world from the East. No, I mean, the Eastern part of those states. You never hear about anybody in the Eastern part of those states, but like the Western part.
Yeah. Oregon and Washington are set up is that, you know, west of the Cascades is all lush and full of rain. And then those mountains say, none for you, Eastern Oregon and Washington. So it's really cheap land where a lot of like cattle farmers and whatnot. Mm. And then like, you know, Ammon Bundy and like the over the Malheur Wildlife Reserve and whatnot. So like outside of this very narrow strip of these two states, it's like a completely different country. In terms of ideologies and gun ownership habits and whether or not they feel comfortable with like openly opposing the government, fun stuff like that. There's a few different secessionist movements. Some of them are pretty cool. Some of them are scary.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, I remember reading over the years about how Oregon was actually started as like a white haven state, and then that sort of kept around a little bit, kicked around a little bit here and there throughout the laws and the people throughout the years.
There were only until very recently did they remove the racially restricted covenants in property titles. So like if you bought a house and the title transfers from owner to owner to owner, an enduring factor of that title was that the owners could restrict whether or not like Black people could buy the home in the future. This Holy literally shit. Within the last 10 years has finally been like taken care of. My God. There's also a town that flooded So the first Vancouver is Vancouver, Washington. It predates Vancouver, British Columbia. And that's where I lived when I was in Washington. Huh. And it's just over the Columbia River from Portland. So there's this little city on the Oregon side of the river called Vanport, Vancouver, Portland, Vanport. And it was kind of like a lower lying geological area. And the mouth of the Willamette River goes into the Columbia. So there's a ton of water there. And it was also a place that was heavily populated by marginalized people in the community. And it flooded. and there are like memorials to it because like a lot of Black people died. And yeah. The Oregon history, like people think a lot of like this like liberal haven, like there are the WTO protests in Seattle in the 90s. And like everybody's a liberal here. And this is where Nirvana is from. And also it's like one of the most racist parts of the country. And I think it's shielded from that reputation because it's outshone by like Florida. But it's a really white part of the country. And it's got a lot of enduring factors from its racist history here.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty much like every part of the country too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like Southern California, a lot Southern California too gets that reputation of being like very liberal and very accepting, but it is not. Like Huntington Beach had the highest concentration of neo-Nazis outside of Germany at one point.
And Pennsylvania's like always been known.
Yeah, it's kind of no escape.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Kentucky in between. It's always the phrase.
I'm going to Pittsburgh this weekend.
Nice. You get to see the bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The perks of being a wallflower.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I went to Pittsburgh to visit my friend Colin, that we went through one of those tunnels and I was doing this and he was like, what the fuck are you doing?
This is a steel town. It's on a manic pixie dream girl town.
I've never been to Pittsburgh, even though I'm right down.
You've never been to Pittsburgh? You drive through it through Indiana.
Yeah, no, I used to drive through it.
You've never been to Pittsburgh and you live in Pennsylvania?
No, but it's as far as you are from me.
I stayed there on the way to you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's a weird fucking town.
It is pretty weird. But you know what? Like, I lived in Tennessee for most of my life. I wonder, I assume Richmond will be coming up on that, Virginia. But I've never been to Memphis because, like, that's
Memphis?
Like the west
really?
Part.
You've never been to Memphis?
Memphis no, rocks,
I thought you were just at Memphis.
Nope. My parents live in Nashville. That's
Nashville.
First...
You're in Nashville. All right.
But I grew up in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is southeast Tennessee, which is like near Chattanooga and Knoxville. So like, that's where like I lived. I live on like what I would call the Dolly Parton side of Tennessee, not like the fucking like Elvis side of Tennessee.
But I mean, Memphis is cool and Pittsburgh is just Pittsburgh.
I keep planning a trip to wanting to plan a trip to like a day trip to Memphis when I'm in Nashville. It's like, I'm trying to think how far it is. It's maybe 3 to 4.
Me and my dad drove from Jackson, Mississippi to Memphis to see Tom Waits and once other time to see Bob Dylan. Like,
does Mystery Train take place in Memphis?
I think so. The Jim Jarmusch.
It is Memphis, right? Yeah, that's where Elvis recorded, right? Is that where Sun Studios is? Or Sun Records?
Was Sun Records there?
Was that Memphis? I thought that was Memphis.
All I really know about Memphis is that's where Jeff Buckley died.
Oh, that's right.
Identified him by his belly button ring.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah, because he drowned. So
he did drown. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
I haven't spent a lot of time on that side of the country. I'm planning on going to New York this fall. I've gone before, but yeah, I've been mostly relegated to the West Coast. But if you're only 4 hours away from a place, you absolutely should go. I'm driving 4 hours this weekend to go to Seattle. So
nice.
Yeah.
I think we're used to driving longer distances out on the side of the country.
In the West, yeah.
You're right. We're all bitches here on the East Coast.
You get nice transit.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Jennifer.
Philadelphia is hit or miss.
I mean, I'm not close to Memphis from Richmond, but like when I go visit my parents in Nashville, I'm pretty close. Mm. I do travel enrich. So like the place I would say I travel most to living in Richmond, like it's a pretty good area. You're like close to Charlottesville in the mountains. You're close to like Virginia Beach and like the beaches. You're close to like, it wasn't that far from North Carolina when I drove there. And then of course, fucking like DC and Baltimore, but the drive is so stressful to DC and Baltimore. Just like the traffic is so bad.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I was only in Portland for a day, but or a couple of days. And also I was very high accidentally because my friend and I gave a ride to these people from San Francisco and she left granola in our car and I thought it was regular granola. And then she texted me after I had four handfuls of it and it wasn't.
People are bad at labeling things here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she gave me like regular granola that when we were driving and it tasted like weed. And I was like, this isn't weed granola. And like, no, this is normal. So when I ate the other weed granola and it tasted like weed, I was like, oh, well, the other, it tasted like weed yesterday too.
Who Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That ruined it. Terrible representation of California having two different kinds of granola.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about Portland other than being like unexpectedly high in Portland?
I remember it kicking in. I remember being in a record store. I remember we went to some donut place. It wasn't Voodoo. We went there the next day.
Blue Star, maybe.
Maybe
I went to Blue Star.
It was pretty big. It was like almost like looked like a cafeteria inside, I think. I don't know. The guy we were staying with, it was this non-binary anarchist that was squatting in a fucking house in Oakland that we gave a ride to. And we were staying with like his blue-haired friend. I think he actually did use he, his pronouns. That's before I even knew non-binary was a thing. We were staying with this like blue-haired friend that made money playing guitar in parks and stuff. Sleeping on his
floor. Yeah.
Yeah. And he took us there.
Cross punk.
Yeah, pretty much. The kid we give a ride to, he was like staying there semi-permanently and like he just had there was like a shower curtain in the kitchen that like sort of sectioned off his area where his bed was.
That's like downtown, like the apartments in downtown LA.
Yeah.
Are your rooms.
My first apartment was staying in a neighborhood of downtown Portland, and it was a converted living room, and there was nothing separating it from the rest of the house, but I found a giant roll of upholstery. Like, nice. And so we developed like the system with pipes and PVC pipes hanging from the ceiling. So I had a pretty like substantial fabric wall, but it was fabric.
Right.
It was really cheap though. It was like $280 a month. Like I put up with a lot for that being downtown for that little amount of money.
Yeah.
Did you build forts as a kid?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
The only place I've been to in the Pacific Northwest was I went to Seattle, I think, for like 2 or 3 days. And my cousins live there now and I might come back. My cousin is getting married fucking long distance for the rest of her family with 4 months notice. So like she was anyway, this is a different rant, but like I'm probably going by myself, but like I went once and it was for like a work thing. I had to write an article about something that the real Starbucks was doing in Seattle for Uproxx. And I got to taste all these. Oh, they were offering like gourmet food, which I never saw happen in like my Starbucks here in the fucking like Virginia. So, but like, and then I went to the Space Needle, but I didn't, my cousins were like, don't go up, it's overrated. But then I did get to do the one Seattle thing, which was like eat the,
cheese hot dogs.
Oh. Gooey duck.
Oh, the gooey duck. Oh, ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what gooey duck is?
No.
Yeah, the
it's clam. It's a clam that looks like a dick.
It looks like a not like a massive dong though, like a real real like prize fighter.
It's a regular clamshell, but it's got like a protrusion that allows it to like get to the surface of the sand for, I don't know, breathing or eating or what have you. And it's like the state food in Washington. There's not many, like, I guess aside from berries, there's not many like region. We don't have like regional dishes here. Everyone's like salmon and blackberries and gooey duck, and that's kind of it.
Oh, that's good enough, yeah.
Yeah, I've never eaten it. I don't eat meat, so I don't think I would eat it. But it's, you know, just, Jenny, I thought you came to Portland. Were you planning on coming to Portland at one point?
There was like a guy who was chatting me up a bit, and I was like, maybe I'll go to Portland. And then I was really obsessed with this song called Portland, Oregon. It's like a duet with fucking Jack White and Loretta Lynn. Yep. One of my favorite songs.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I just ended up, you know, like, it takes a lot for me to like go across, like, I'm a fucking mom, like, for the idea of just going across the country for some guy, like, I'm in my 30s, you know, so it didn't happen.
You got the song, you don't need it.
Yeah, it's been a better reason to come to Portland. We'll do it upright.
You have to
go to Voodoo Donuts because you have to. But I think that's just so you can learn how overrated it is.
That's what everybody told us when we were there. And then it was fine.
That's what I did. I feel
like I would have wanted to go if they still like they had the NyQuil donuts.
I think that the mystique.
Give me a Benadryl donut.
What's that?
Oh, if you can get me a Benadryl donut or a Dramamine donut, I'd be all up.
I mean, I could probably just
I'd stand in line for an hour.
Yeah, I'll
stand in line for an hour for that.
I think Voodoo's mystique has fallen away a bit because they've spread across the country to some degree.
Oh, they have? All I've seen is the beer they had.
The collaboration with Rogue that they had.
Rogue, right, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the maple bacon. Disgusting.
Actually, I didn't have that because I'd already stopped eating meat at that point, so I didn't bother getting it. I just remember it was in a pink bottle, I think.
Yes. Yes. There's a few different theme parks that have voodoos at them now are like right in their like immediate vicinity.
Wow, okay.
So it's very much like playing up to this, like, it's like a quirky experience. And only thing quirky about it is they only took cash, which was really annoying.
Also, they had like very, like, I remember the donuts looked extravagant. Like they would have like multiple parts, like with sticks holding them together, I think. And
yeah, so like the actual like voodoo doll one would have like pretzels stabbed in it. And then they had one that looked like a blunt, and I don't smoke pot or anything, but I went there and I thought it just like looked like a good donut, and I said, I'll take the blunt. And she said, a drumstick. That's a drumstick. And I was like, why are you being adamant about it? We all know that there's no actual weed in this.
Right.
No, yeah, it's not like a head shop where we're gonna get arrested.
No, I mean, it was probably before weed was legal in the state, but it's like you can, it looked like something you can call it the thing and it's not going to get you arrested. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's such an I feel like it's kind of an upsetting thing to be like corrected on drug lingo as an adult.
Oh, well, yeah. I already feel awkward enough saying any, I don't know what to call marijuana without sounding like a narc. Yeah.
I call the place asking.
I don't do any of that stuff, so I always sound like a complete dweeb when I talk about drugs. And I'm surrounded by, like, within walking distance, there's a bunch of places I could just go buy weed right now. And I'm like, I don't do marijuana. Thank you. I don't fit in this state when it comes to that kind of like casual attitude towards it. I love the beer culture here. I love
the microbreweries.
I love craft beer, so I guess that's my vice in the region.
Richmond's been getting more beerish around here lately. More breweries and shit popping up, and like also we have a lot of food. Like we're ending up on a lot of like mid-sized foodie city lists, like maybe like Asheville kind of vibes, or I can't think of any other mid-sized city right now. But yeah, and it's okay. And like, you know, I'm a pretty big foodie, so I don't mind it. I would say whenever I travel somewhere, like looking for like food, the cool food, plus a gimmick food, like I'm not too good to do touristy shit is probably like my goal of a trip.
Yeah.
I've got a list of restaurants I want to try in New York. Cause the last time I went was before I stopped eating meat. So there's a whole bunch of places that I'm very excited to try. I'm looking for the ultimate vegan cheeseburger.
Ooh. Yeah.
Cheeseburgers are like
exciting.
My favorite thing ever.
I bet it.
I don't eat.
I wonder if, like, I feel like California would have the best vegan cheeseburger.
Really?
Maybe.
I can't remember any specifically, but yeah, I know I've had some that are pretty fucking good.
The best veggie
like,
burger
around LA, like proper.
The best veggie burger I had was in Muncie, Indiana.
The for black real? Bean? No, wait, no. The one I had with you was in Bloomington.
Yeah. Oh, that was actually really good too. No,
that was pretty good. The black bean burger was pretty good.
No, actually, I was thinking. I never took you to Gas City, I guess, did I? To the British pub owned by the weird guy who moved from England to.
I don't know. That's not where we met up with Jazz, was it?
No, we met her in downtown Muncie. No, there
was actually. It was in downtown. Okay.
Yeah, I actually forgot. No, there was a place and there was a British pub in Gas City. There was this guy who moved from England to LA because he loved James Dean and then made $1 million selling vintage t-shirts he bought at Goodwill on eBay. And then he moved from LA to Fairmount, or I think that's what it's called, Indiana, where James Dean is from, where there's fucking nothing.
Jeez.
I went there to both of the James Dean museums with my ex-girlfriend those days at the time. And yeah, like there's like just nothing is open for most of the week. There's like this one record store is open once a week if the lady decides to come in. But yeah, and then he moved down the road and started this British pub. But no, the best burger I had was at this like I forget the name of the place in Muncie, but it had beets in it. It was just like one of those. Yeah, it was one of those like thoughtful veggie burgers that tries to do something interesting with texture and taste, and not just black beans at you or fake
meat. Yeah, yeah, like it's not just like another lentil burger.
Yeah,
or whatever the fuck. That sounds good.
Yeah, no, it was really
like
good.
Like pre. What is it like pre Beyond when it,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
When like they had it bleed? Yeah. Impossible. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like 10 years before that, I guess, or maybe 5 years, but yeah, no, like I've gone to other restaurants. There's one in North Philly I go to occasionally that always has like a themed seasonal burger, but it always tastes just like mush. I've never had a good, like experimental veggie burger since then.
Shame.
Yeah.
Are you all going to eat not to get into a debate on the debate topic episode, but are you guys the vegetarians? Are you all going to try the BioCell meat?
The lab grown meat?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe. Yeah, I think one of my I definitely chose. So I was vegan before, and then I went back for a while, and then I became vegan again. I guess I'm more accurately described as vegetarian right now because I do eat eggs currently. Mm. So, but a lot of my basis for doing the meatless stuff is like the sympathy of animals, and like factory farming is just like pernicious and gross, which means I probably shouldn't be eating eggs, but I know.
Tough. Like, but there's only so much you can do for money. Like,
but it's very difficult. There's also a lot of downsides to a lot of the meatless alternatives because of like economies of scale. Like right now, they are so inefficient because they're so small. So they take up a lot more like water and electricity than even factory farming does in a lot of cases. And the costs are obviously as high or higher than like traditional like meat products. So you kind of have to, if you're invested in that becoming a long-term viable alternative, is you have to kind of like muscle through it and pay like a ridiculous amount of money for Impossible to kind of keep it going, to show that there's like faith in it, to make sure that it gets enough power, public praise and acceptability, so it kind of can scale up and hopefully become more efficient and more cost effective.
Yeah,
I buy it.
I think as somebody who does eat meat, I feel like it, like the bio created, what do you call that? That like
the lab grown meat.
The lab grown meat. Yeah, I think ultimately should like move to replace like
I've heard it called food engineering.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's how we eat corn and bananas. I don't give a shit.
I mean, if it achieves the end where like actual animals are not getting hurt, animals are not being bred into a situation where their only inevitability is slaughter. And it is, aside from that, also like a net positive for the environment. I might try it. I can't say that I'm like excited to try it. It seems like a little icky to me. Mm-hmm. But I might, you know, if it's going to lead towards like a better future, I might just like suck it up and eat a weird lab burger at one point.
I'll eat it immediately. Like if I could find lab grown meat, I'd probably travel for the occasion.
What about if it's lab grown human analog meat?
I will eat the fuck out of that. I don't care. I have
You gotta know.
I want to eat it off of its birth certificate. I don't care.
Not me. I watched Yellow. I've been watching Yellow Jackets. Absolutely
don't
not.
Don't spoil it.
I watched that too.
It was like, cannibalism, but don't spoil it. I'm not in the second season yet.
I've watched Antiviral.
I watched that too, and my position hasn't changed.
I do. I Brandon Cronenberg, David Cronenberg's son. I don't think he's made like. I think his last film was actually probably his best.
Infinity Pool was good. I liked Infinity Pool.
Yeah, I think it was his best one. Yeah. But so far he's had like more good ideas than he's had good films. But especially Antiviral, the concept of like first people like getting infected with diseases. With like colds from celebrities and stuff, and then going forward to cell steaks made out of clones of celebrities.
like what is really like, I mean, lab grown human meat, what's really the difference between that and breast milk? I mean, besides like the engineering and all that stuff,
I can
from
understand,
an ethical standpoint,
I can understand. It's just, you know, Like I'm not gonna judge other people if they eat lab grown human meat, but like I don't know.
Well, I mean, like what? But also, like who would market it as lab grown human meat? It's just like it's gonna taste like pork, probably.
Like, I mean, I thought you were gonna say what's the difference between that and pork? Not what's the difference between that and breast milk? Because I can think of a couple differences.
Oh well, I mean, like you wouldn't kill anybody. I mean, if you're not killing anybody, if there's no like. It's a human product that's not born out of blood. I don't know.
Breast milk does come from the blood, and I think that
that's right. That is true.
Physically
that's true.
Taxing process for people to express
breast milk. It's even more difficult.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I was
difficult. There you go.
I breastfed both of my kids. I never thought of it being like that.
Well, I know a lot of people who've got like mastitis because of it, or like a clogged duct, or just overall like a painful experience, like their kids wouldn't latch. And so it was just like incredibly frustrating and emotionally taxing. So like maybe we should look at like, aside from formula, like an actual like lab grown, like breast milk analog would probably save a lot of people a lot of trouble.
A lot of like super crunchy moms would be super freaked out like that by that. I remember that like I had been pumping all this milk, and then it turned out that when my oldest son had a soy milk allergy, which is or intolerance, which sometimes small babies have, and then it goes away by the time they're like toddlers. And so I had to like, so I couldn't use any of the milk I'd pumped. And so they had like this Milkshare donation program for like moms. And I thought, this is really neat. Like, I want to be part of this. This is cute. And then the mom said, are you vaccinated? Do you have any metal fillings? And I was like, yes.
Metal fillings? My God.
And she was like,
Do you have her teeth pulled?
And she wouldn't take my breast milk. She wouldn't take my breast milk. She wouldn't take my breast milk. And she was like, she's like, sorry, I already have one child with autism already.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I hate them.
That poor child.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. My goodness. Just the sickliest milk he has to drink.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to go. I have been chill this whole time, but I'm not going to show you, but like I might show Rob separately in a chat. I don't know if Brandon.
I may.
But I've had a rash that's been gradually getting worse over the course. I took.
Oh yeah, let me see that. I'll take that. I'll see that too. I'm gonna send.
You can't see it as well on the camera, but I'm gonna send you like literally all of the pictures of my arms that I've been taken has been during the show.
Yeah, my stitches are finally healing.
Oh, yeah.
I can't open my hand as wide as I used to. I don't know if I don't know if I can ever play piano again.
This is primarily a body horror podcast. Milk is honestly the most discussed topic on this show.
So anyway, I have to go to Pittsburgh tomorrow. Maybe I'm going to have to go to urgent care and get a fucking steroid shot. Not sure what's going on. I fear that my dog, who's also been itching all day, may have gotten into poison ivy. So, So I'm going to go check out all that shit, but it was really great talking to all of you. And I can see that this will be the debate episode, Rob, and then the like food and travel episode.
Breast milk, as always.
Yep. It's always goes back to breast milk.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, but I have actually one more thing about Portland. Whatever, Jennifer, you can leave. That's fine.
Okay.
One thing I always do when I go to cities is I go to movie theaters. So like Jennifer to the bird. When I was in Portland, the one thing we did do after my high wore off was we went to, was it called the American Theater or something? Like that big, beautiful theater. I think it's like a big marquee off front, I feel like.
There's a few different like really old school theaters in Portland that have managed to stay alive really well.
Really?
So like there's one in the Broadway district that is pretty good. That's where I saw Wonder Woman. There's one in St. John's, which is like there are five quadrants in Portland because we are very bad at math. So in North Portland, which is a very cool neighborhood, St. John's is one of my favorite places. There's a pretty cool theater there too. And they've all got like the old school marquees and like the red velvet seats and everything like that. I don't know of one called the American Theater.
I mean, probably exactly 10 years ago. Actually almost like 10 years ago, like in a week.
I mean, I've been here since 2000. I'm not a big movie goer, so it's possible there is another theater I just don't know about. There's like other ones, like in there's the Baghdad on Hawthorne that's kind of got the old school. I think that one's got like a balcony too.
This one had multiple theaters in it, I think, but it was it looked like an old school theater from the outside.
Was it Cinetopia, maybe?
Maybe.
It got bought out by AMC, but that was a pretty big thing here locally for a while because you could get beer. And there were recliners, and they had garlic fries.
We didn't have recliners at the time. This is 10 years ago, though. So,
yeah. And they were around that time. Yeah.
Wait, so you moved to that area in 2000?
Yeah.
How big was there a giant impact or at all when the Garden State came out and the Shins became popular?
Well, I mean, the indie scene has always been like annoying here. When I was in high school and early college, I actually was not really like into that sort of thing. I was much more into like nu metal. And
hell yeah.
There were a bunch of like, there was like a battle of the bands at my high school, and a few like local bands from Portland that weren't affiliated with the high schools were playing there. And we ended up becoming friends with one of them. So we were going through their shows around Portland at like really, really, really like small, dinky, shitty venues.
Nice.
And I guess that's like the coolest like credibility of like doing something kind of like off the beaten path in Portland, because otherwise, you know, I was like a debater and I was
but you are in the new metal and... underground. That's you were, pretty that's you were pretty
doing
intense.
Underground debates in these little rock clubs.
You see Chain while it's unimaginable.
I actually the night before a tournament, I piece of decor had fallen off of my wall, and I gotten up in the middle of the night to get like a glass of water, and I stepped on it and I like cut my foot. I should have gone to the hospital and gotten stitches, but I had the second day of the tournament the next day, and I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna miss the rest of the tournament. So I like bandaged it up the best I could, and I wore like my regular like suit or whatever, but I had to wear tennis shoes. And then a judge was like, if you're going to be presenting yourself at a tournament, you should wear proper footwear. And like, ugh, it was a lot misogynistic at the time.
That's
but
insane.
Then like 2 nights later, I went to a show at this place called the Paris Theater, which is now a porn theater, or it was for a while, but it's a super small venue where all these bands would play. And we were in the pit and my foot got stepped on and it reopened.
Oh God.
Reopened my cut that should have had stitches. So there's like this whole like gigantic Portland experience between the debate and the irresponsibility and then like going to a show and then like bleeding out into a shoe on a
that's
a
intense. Yeah. Floor.
Wait, but when did
Portland like sepsis?
When did it become a porn theater? I've never heard of something like the 21st century becoming a porn theater after being something else.
Yeah, it's actually really close to the first Voodoo Donut location. I think it's literally on the same block in Portland. Okay. And there's a store around the corner from it called Another State of Mind, which is where you go to buy like studs to put on your belt so you can look like a punk and whatnot. Because you don't want to go to Hot Topic and do that, right?
No, of course not.
So the Paris Theater, I think, was initially like a little tiny movie theater. And then it became a music venue, and it's so tiny in there. And then it only showed like hentai for like 10 years.
I was gonna ask.
Oh, that one, the hentai. Yes. I know. I think I tried to go there at one point.
When I was out there, we were going to go there just for the novelty of it, and we got there, and we're like, oh, it's closing in 10 minutes. Like, why bother? And then after we left, there's just like, what the fuck. Like, how long were we going to stay there? Like, why didn't we just go for 10 minutes? Like, we're going to go sit there for an hour and a half and watch a bunch of hentai? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. In concept, it sounds a lot better than what it probably actually is, which is upsetting and sticky.
Sticky is a word that I frequently heard describe that place.
Oh, no. Okay. So that's a reality. There you go.
It's no longer.
I mean, like, I went to Powell's and that was nice, but I found a couple sticky corners in that area too. So I can only imagine. Powell's is what do you call that?
It's books.
Yeah, it's I don't want to say spectacle because it has a negative connotation, but it's quite a thing to behold.
Yeah, so it's in the Pearl District, and it's definitely like, if you're visiting Portland, it's one of those places you have to go. But then I was just like popping in to like buy news magazines for debate prep, and I'm like,
oh, nice.
It's so weird that like there's people here on vacation that came here in part specifically to go through Powell's, and I'm just like running to the newsstand and grabbing a magazine and leaving, like just having like a normal one. It's kind of like when I went to New York and we went to the Empire State Building and there's like a Walgreens in it, and you're just like going into the Walgreens like, I gotta get a fruit cup and my like antidepressant, and there's like somebody on the top floor like having a mind-bending experience looking out of a skyscraper.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't have anything
like that idea like during Harry, like, was that like Sleepless in Seattle when they're on the Empire State Building and they're having their moment or something? Like,
I haven't seen that movie, but wouldn't it be the Space Needle?
I think it's like, yeah, you would think so. I think they do something on the Space Needle, but then they do something else in New York. It's an interstate fucking movie.
I have to watch it. I'm clearly behind on what the overall plot is.
I watched it. In preparation to go to Seattle, and I was like, "There's, what the hell are these other states doing here? Like, it's ridiculous."
I'm trying to think what would be like the movie to watch to prepare yourself to go to Seattle.
I saw a lot. Let me know if any of these resonate. I watched Singles. I did watch Singles.
Yeah. I never watched Singles. Isn't 50-50 the one where Joseph Gordon-Levitt has cancer? I think that might take place in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that does take place in Seattle. I watched I think it's called Streetwise. It's like a documentary about like wayward youths living in the Seattle streets. That was actually really good.
That probably would be a pretty good preparatory film to watch based on Seattle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of films, but then they're all Austin or LA.
Yeah. There's a Hump Day. I don't know if you've ever heard of
The Duplass.
Wynn Shelton. Yeah. The Mark Duplass.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
It's about two straight male, sensibly straight male friends they're straight.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is that they're straight
and they decide to have sex for an art film, right? As an art film.
I think it's
art competition.
I think it's like a dare they give
it's this... it's for a film festival. It's for an erotic film festival specifically. Remember that. So, and then they're just trying to figure out how to do it. Like, I don't know. There's, I guess they're straight, but also.
Well, the thing is because like there's the one scene where the guy who isn't Mark Duplass, I forget who the other guy is.
Yeah. I don't know about him so much, but Mark Duplass, yeah. Like there's some ambiguity there.
Is there? Because like the other guy I know, he's like in a three-way with two girls and then they pull out a dildo and he's like, oh.
Oh yeah, yeah. But that also could just be like it's bigger. It's bigger than that also could be insecurity.
Maybe, but then like they're also like too scared to touch each other.
They are, but there's just one like the part that I remember is like Mark Duplass' character talking to his wife and saying, like, I don't know why I have to do this, but I feel like I have to do this. There's this notion that like it's something that he feels like he has to explore.
I always got the impression it was like a male feminist thing of like I have to prove that like I'm a good ally somehow or something.
It could be that. I didn't read it that way, but it could be that. I don't know. It's hard. it did feel very Pacific Northwest, weirdly though, even though there's no like landscape in the movie.
Does it rain a lot?
It doesn't rain in the movie. That's a weird thing.
That's true.
You know what else feels like very Pacific Northwest, which I know, like I think was filmed in Seattle, that also didn't have any rain, was World's Best Dad or World's Greatest Dad. World's
Greatest Dad. That's right.
Yeah, the Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I guess I've missed so many like important movies or fun movies.
I don't know how important that one is, but
I don't know. We watch like 400 movies a year, so
it's Robin Williams. His son is the Junie from Spy Kids.
Yeah.
And it's very odd because like he kills himself masturbating and Robin Williams like decides to like say that like it was a suicide because
and he writes a fake lie. He writes a fake suicide note and it goes viral around the school.
Yeah,
and then it's really popular himself because of it. And yeah,
but it's funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Okay,
to the extent that premise can be.
I mean, as far as Pacific Northwest and not Seattle, I mean, Kelly Reichardt, a lot of her films take place in, I guess.
The Ring. Speaking of The Ring. Yeah, The Ring also. Yeah.
I think it takes place initially on like one of the islands in the Puget Sound, like the actual the location where the well is or whatever.
Is that where like Anacortes is or is that off the coast?
Anacortes?
Yeah. Oh, is that? Yeah.
That's how I would say it, but I don't know if I'm right.
I have no idea.
There's a lot of very weird pronunciations of things here. Like there's a town a little west of here. It's spelled like Aloha, but it's pronounced Aloha. And then there's a town in Washington that's spelled S-E-Q-U-I-M, which you would say that's Sequim, right? It's pronounced Squim. So like whatever goodness, you think the pronunciation sounds... is, it's not. So.
I feel like most states have that thing. Like where I live now in Philly, I live next to Greenwich Street.
If
you went to Powell's here, then you were really close to Cooch Street. That's literally how it's pronounced. Like the streetcar will announce like 10th and Cooch. And you're like,
wow, what's the spelling?
Like couch, like it's the thing you sit on in your house.
Oh, okay.
I wonder how goodness this happens.
Gracious. It's like, someone's last name.
Oh.
How unfortunate.
But like, I don't know. I used to live on Greenwich too years ago. And like, I don't get how we're so close to New York and we call it fucking Greenwich.
Yeah. I want to go to England and just like say that all the time.
Just mispronounce everything.
Yeah. Like I live on Greenwood Street. It's next to
I'm gonna go see what the sights are all about in Reading.
Yeah,
nice to sir.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Can I get? Where do you get to Gloucestershire?
Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
All right. I can wrap up the recording at least.
All right. Yeah, I should probably take off.
Right. Yeah, same here. It was a pleasure talking to you. This is really great. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I always love talking about debate and dispelling few of the maybe assumptions that people have had and expanding some knowledge of it. It's a fun time.
It was illuminating for sure. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for being receptive to listening to me talk about debate. Not many people want to hear
about it. Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.